Manuscript Releases, Volume 3, Mr. Number 199, On the Law in Galatians, On Sister White's Daughters, Letter to a Schoolgirl, Eternal Truth. Miscellaneous items on the law in Galatians. We are in danger of falling into similar errors, quibbling over unimportant matters. Never should that which God has not given as a test be carried, as was the subject of the law in Galatians. I have been instructed that the terrible experience at the Minneapolis conference is one of the saddest chapters in the history of the believers in present truth. God forbids that the subject of the two laws should ever again be agitated as it then was. Some are not yet healed of their defection, and would plunge into this subject once more. Should they do this, differences of opinion would again create division. This question must not be revived. On Sister White's Daughters, my dear Emma, there is not a person I could take to my heart as heartily as yourself. Yet I advise you to move cautiously, weigh every move. You are making a move which will be lasting. Therefore, do not move hastily. Do not get entirely swallowed up in this one matter, marriage. Edson, I hope that you and Emma will not live merely for yourselves, but that you will consecrate yourselves to God in perfect holiness in His name. If you make failures, do not give up in discouragement. Try again. Satan will oppose every step of advance that you may make. Therefore, if you are overcome by the enemy, in humility humble yourself before God, confess your defeat, and then distrust yourself, but more firmly trust in God. Edson, get along with as little as possible and try to make your payments if possible. Your capital of strength is more valuable than any amount of property. Move cautiously. Make God your counselor. Keep clear of debt. Hire as little as possible. This hiring a little here and there, little driblets constantly going out for jobs done, will keep you embarrassed all the time. Take good care of what you have already, and lay out as little work as possible. Do what you can and depend not on hired help. May you be guided aright is our prayer. With Christ as your friend, you are rich. Have you ever so limited a possession? Without Jesus, you would be poor indeed, if you were worth thousands. Jesus invites you two children, Edson and Emma, to come to Him just as you are and surrender all to God. Begin your married life just right. Be courteous, be tender, be affectionate. Respect the feelings of one another every time. Do not be betrayed even once in indulging in a perverse, irritable temper. If you do, you will soon lose respect for one another. Edson, you may be troubled in the field and become irritated. Don't carry that trouble over the threshold of the door, not for even once. It may cost you an effort to efface all traces of irritation and wear a smile, but do it, my son, do it, by all means. God help you to bear with the errors and mistakes of each other. If a hasty word is spoken, take it back by confession as soon as possible, and heal the wound and keep in the sunshine, and you will not only be happy yourselves, but be a blessing to others. Dear husband and children three, we hope you will be cheerful and happy while you are in the mountains. This precious opportunity of being all together as you now are may never come to you again. Lay aside your work, let the writings go. Go over into the park and see all that you can. Get all the pleasure you can out of this little season. I sometimes fear we do not appreciate these precious opportunities and privileges until they pass, and it is too late. Mary has never had a childhood any more than Willie has had a boyhood. The few days you now have together, improve. Roam about, camp out, go to places that you have not seen, rest as you go, and enjoy everything. Then come back to your work fresh and vigorous. Emma, dear child, may God bless our daughter Emma, and may this little season, when you can be with sister and brother and father, be full of pleasure and devoid of one dark chapter. Roam all around. Climb the mountain steeps. Ride horseback. Find something new each day to see and enjoy. Do not spend any anxious thoughts on me. You see how well I will appear after the camp meetings are over. I know you will all please God by seeking to build up your strength and laying in a good stock of vitality that you can draw upon in time of need. Regarding her prospective daughter-in-law, Willie was so anxious that I should have someone to give me treatment, and I have employed her, May Lacey, and she fills the bill nicely. But I soon learned why Willie was anxious for May Lacey. He loved her, and she seems more like Mary White, our buried treasure, than anyone he had met. But I had not the slightest thought when she came to my home. But you will have a new sister in a few months, if her father gives his consent. She is a treasure. If the Lord will, I shall have a daughter with whom I am well pleased. She is always cheerful, kind, and tender-hearted, willing to do anything she can, and is always satisfied and thankful. She has a large head, blue eyes, she calls them gray, but they are blue cheeks as red as roses, light complexion. Well, I think I have described her nicely. I told her today that I would like to understand if the matter was settled between her and Willie. She said it was, if her father would consent. I have not any doubt but what he will consent. I am now preparing her wardrobe. She loves me and I love her. She is just the one I should choose. I have not seen anyone I have cared to take Mary's place in my family relation before, but this is all right. Well, we are here fitting up her wardrobe, and we hope she will be prepared for her married life with a real becoming wardrobe, but not expensive or extravagant. You know that is not my besetting sin. If Mary White could be here to thrash around and cook and enjoy the journey, then I should enjoy it much better. I have just read your letters and cried like a child. I would rather have you, Mary, my daughter, than anyone else. I am worn and feel as though I was about 100 years old. Letter to a schoolgirl. We held quite a number of meetings in Dallas but could not remain long, as would appear best, on account of the promise to speak to the people in Denison. We left Dallas last Wednesday morning with two heavy wagons, loaded, two-seated wagons called hacks, and our phaeton. We had our large family tent and pitched it, and for 2 nights occupied it. 15 composed our caravan, Elder Kilgore, and his brother Scott, brother and sister McDearman, their two children Hattie and Joseph, their niece Nettie Cole, and grandson Homer Salisbury, brother Moore and his son Willie, brother and sister A. G. Daniels, sister Davis, brother and sister White. We arrived at home in Denison before Sabbath, and were well arranged before sundown. Now, Edith, we do not want you to leave Battle Creek. Do not be the least bit discouraged. Lighten up on your studies and take things easier. Be of good courage, and do not let anything trouble you. You must write me fully in regard to yourself and your purposes, but we will see you in the course of 2 weeks. We feel a deep interest that you should succeed in your plans in regard to education. If it is the will of God for you to remain in Battle Creek, He will preserve you. And if it is best for you to take things more moderately, and build up physically as well as mentally, God will bless and make your efforts successful. Now I beseech of you to cast all your care, my dear child, upon Him who careth for you. Do not be of a doubtful mind, but trust the dear Savior fully, implicitly. He loves to have us trust Him, and He will respond to the confidence we give Him. Dear Edith, may you, my dear child, have strength, fortitude, and courage and perfect trust in God. Jesus lives. He will cheer, He will bless, He will give grace. Only trust Him. He loves you, and He doth not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. He loves to see us cheerful, hopeful, and happy. And now I will say farewell till we meet you. Do not leave Battle Creek till I shall see you. Eternal truth, we stand as the remnant people in these last days to promulgate the truth and swell the cry of the third angel's wonderful distinct message, giving the trumpet a certain sound. Eternal truth, which we have adhered to from the beginning, is to be maintained in all its increasing importance to the close of probation. The trumpet is to give no uncertain sound. We must devise and plan wisely, practicing simplicity and the strictest economy and manifesting Christ's likeness of character. Faith, eternal faith in the past and in the present truth, is to be talked, is to be prayed, is to be presented with pen and voice.